At this time, I'll dismiss the children ages 4 through the 4th grade to Children's Church. If you have children ages 4 through the 4th grade and you'd like for them to attend Children's Church, we have workers at the back of the sanctuary who are ready to receive them. If you would like for them to stay in here with you, they are more than welcome to. That is your choice. We have that available if you would like to avail yourself of that. And as the children are being dismissed, I just wanted to introduce Kevin to you a bit more formally this morning. As I alluded to earlier, Kevin is one of the pastors of Paramount Church in Bexley, a church that you supported this morning. Whether you realize it or not, when you gave this morning, a portion of what you were giving is going to support the work at Paramount in a number of different ways. So RBC has a close relationship with this church plant. And on a personal level, I will speak for both myself and Pastor Steve. I can say that safely in saying this. It has been a real joy and a privilege and a pleasure for us to get to know the pastoral leadership at Paramount. We are excited about what's going on there. We are excited to call them not only fellow laborers, but we're excited and privileged to call them friends. It's been a real pleasure to get to know them as they have been here. Kevin, prior to moving up to Bexley to help start Paramount, was an associate pastor at First Baptist Jacksonville in Florida, and his wife Debbie, some of you may know Debbie, she works for the Stowe Mission downtown, so you may have met Debbie King down there. But we are honored and excited to have Kevin come and preach the word for us this morning. So give your attention to Kevin as you do every week as he faithfully comes to exposit God's word for us this morning.
Well, thank you, Pastor Greg, and our feelings are very mutual. I'm very humbled and honored to be able to stand here. The church that I was in for 35 years guarded their pulpit very closely, and our pastors protected anyone who came to preach the Word of God to be proven, and that is for the sake of you, the flock, to guard their flock, because we're always battling against false teachings. As you will see, this is part of the reason why the letter that we'll look at this morning was why Peter was writing to the churches and warning them. It's been great to get to know Pastor Steve and Pastor Greg. We landed here about a little over 3 years ago. There was three families, and we didn't know a soul here. And you not only pray for us and give to us, of which we can't express enough thanks for, but we've also had a member or two come. And that's what initiated our first initial visit. We felt like we needed to sit down with them, and we had lunch together, and, hey, we're not here trying to take your members, you know. But I pray that more churches would be mindset in that way, that we wouldn't be so inclusive, that we wouldn't help seed other plants that go on not only in this city but all over the country and all over the world as we try to get this gospel out to those who are lost, who are dying and have absolutely no hope. And so we are really grateful for the relationship that God has given to us from very early on in our days. And it was a big help to us just to make a friend. We used to go and worship, and it was weird walking into a church service knowing I'm not going to be here. I'm not even looking for a church. I'm trying to start a church. And I came here and sat right over there in the back about two or three Sundays with my family. So just a little bit, I don't know. I'm not going to talk about myself. I do have four children. My youngest is a senior this year in high school. My other three are all married and grown and out of college, so I'm seeing a small light at the end of the tunnel, which I'm very grateful for. And we have four grandbabies, and so God has been extremely good to us and blessed us richly. I was at a church in Jacksonville, born and raised Jacksonville, never lived anywhere else in my life. And I wished I had a dollar for every time somebody here told me, you know, you got this backwards. People do not move from Florida to come to Ohio. You go to Ohio to Florida. So this morning, our message title is this your life? It's a question to you, to me, just because I'm here preaching. God has spoken to me for weeks, challenged me in my own life, as you always do, as you study the Word of God. He takes and uses that to change us. It is power. It is what we trust in, His Holy Word that He's given to us. Is this your life? Is a question. So one of the questions this morning we'll start with, I've got a confession or a question, and then I have a confession. The question to you this morning is, how long have you been saved? It's not hard. You'll be able to answer this, I hope. And if you don't, good. We've been praying for you. If you've not been saved, nothing would glorify, make us more happy. Nothing would honor God more than to see you come to Christ today. But how long have you been saved? Those 5 years and under. Raise your hands. 5 years and under. Very good. 10 years and under. 15 years and under. Yeah. 20? 25? 30? 40? 50? 60? 70? God bless you. Well, in some ways, this message absolutely is for everybody. But in some ways, it has a way of speaking, especially to those of us who've been saved for a long time. It's easy. There's a danger to come in and say, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Matter of fact, I've heard it preached. Matter of fact, I may have heard it preached better than what you just did. There's a danger in coming in and hearing the Word of God. Say, yeah, I believe that. And then we don't, you really make application to that. There's also a danger of saying, wonder what he's going to say today. Wonder what special little nugget Pastor Steve's going to give us today. Wonder what little understanding about the scripture that Pastor Greg's going to bring that I didn't already know. And my confession is, there's a part of us, maybe not in you, but in me, we would like to do that. In some ways, we kind of desire to do that, and can be a sinful way of like almost wanting to impress you. There's just that within us, in just that fine line where we want to please God when we stand here in this place and we open this precious word. That we believe this is the Word of God. This is power. This is what changes lives. This is what changes us. The gospel continues to change us. But in so doing, you know, to almost say, wow, people will say good things because of the way I preached this morning. Now there's a good way. We do want encouragement. And it is good. It's not bad. There's a biblical way to do it. And the greatest encouragement as a pastor is watching your people change as they sit under the preaching of your word. So there's a question to you, a confession from me. But just to say, here we're looking at 2 Peter this morning. And we are to preach to the praise of one. I pray and have prayed many hours for being here, grateful, humbled. Have no real business being here. If you really knew me, I'm astounded at where God keeps allowing me to stand. And to walk. But this message today is going, is this your life? 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll go through verses 1 through 15. You'll have to listen quickly. And I want to start kind of at the end and read that, and then we'll come back and pick up the other 11 verses. It says in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by a way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, As our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Peter is writing to the churches. He is probably in prison. He is under maybe the persecution of Nero. Christ has already told him early on in his life when he would die. History tells us that he was maybe crucified upside down because he didn't feel honored enough to be crucified right side up. He is facing death. These are the words of a man who is getting ready to die. These are some of the final words. So you would expect, here's Peter, who we know, who is, I love Peter. I love people like Peter. There's no doubt where Peter stood. What comes up comes out. I've got two daughters that are that way. We always say, hey, filter. You don't always have to say what you first think. But Peter did. He often spoke for the disciples. Christ asked a question, the 12's around. Peter, man, he's quick to give the answer. Peter, who walked on water? That's impressive. Peter, who was at Christ's glorification on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, who also denied Christ, been restored by Christ. Peter, who we know, going, what do you think he's going to say? What little nugget, what little treasure is Peter going to give us today that will radically transform our Christian life? What does he have to say? Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith in virtue, with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have attained a faith of equal standing with ours. You're a fellow believer. You're a follower of Christ. You've been saved. This is who Peter is writing to. People like me, Peter. Peter's saying, you're like me. We have the same faith. We read out of Ephesians this morning. You have been granted his divine power. First point we would say is God's granted salvation. He says here, his divine power has granted to us, the power of God has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We do know that God has promised that he will provide for us from his riches and glory. He will take care of our needs. He will meet our needs. Don't be anxious. Why are you anxious? Don't you see how I take care of the lily of the field? You can't add an inch to your stature. You can't add any hair to your head. But no, Peter's not talking about that here. What he's talking about is new life. You've been born again. He's talking about salvation. And then godliness, the growing in your salvation, the nurturing, the growing of your faith, the faith that was given to you by the divine power of God. We've sang some great songs this morning that fit this so well. What are those promises? What are those promises? He has granted to us for those of us. We were lost. He's granted life to us through the knowledge of Him. It's why it's so important that we share the gospel. We do a lot of things in Bexley to try to help serve the city, to serve our neighbors, to get a right to rub shoulders with folks so that we can, what, share the gospel. We were in the 4th of July parade this year. We gave away 3,500 bottles of water with our church tag on it just to try to, you know, and that won't save a soul. It was great. We ran out of water. We'll do it again next year. We're talking about having two trailers and 6,000 bottles of water. Why? So we can get the gospel out. But I mean, we tell our people, like, that will not save anybody. It is this. It is God's word. It is His very great and precious promises that He gives to us. What are those in salvation? What do we know about that when you share the gospel? Ducking out. You didn't know what I was going to do, did you? And you also didn't know what this was for. This is hopefully to try to help you to remember. It's what Peter's talking about this morning in his word. When this kind of represents our life, what are those promises? What are those great and precious promises that we have in the gospel? What do you know? God's supplied somebody to come and speak to you. Some, probably more than one person. Salvation is usually a process, is it not? You hear the word and God starts working and He sows seed in your life. And then you hear somebody tells you, it's kind of like, hey, you're a sinner. You have no hope without Christ. Christ came into the world. He was born of a virgin. He starts sowing these seeds into your life. And He says, you have no hope. You're separated from God. Your sin separates you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. There's no, not one. There's only one, Christ. Christ came, lived a perfect, sinless life. Precious promises that He's given to us. Somebody who came and would stand in our place. Went to the cross. Right? God. Submitting Himself to His own creatures. Christ. Going to the cross. Willingly laying His life down. Willingly lying there and allowing those to nail Him to the tree. Why? So that He will shed His blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We're picking up and He's taking away the Old Testament sacrifices because He is going to make the payment once and for all for those who will be saved. And you hear this news and it's just, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. Why? Because you don't have ears to hear. And these promises keep coming to you. Not only did He die on the cross and He took your place, and He took my place, that would have been the only thing we could have possibly even done, and it still would have fallen short for God to redeem us to Himself and to make us righteous and to call us sons and daughters. Ha! What a promise. What a promise. What a privilege. But He comes to us, and by faith, you will confess your sins. And you'll believe in your heart that Christ has raised, God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So He didn't just stay there. Don't ever leave the resurrection out of your gospel presentation. It is what makes everything unique to us. He is alive. Thank you. He is alive. He sits at the right hand of the Father this morning making intercession for each one of us. Really? What a promise. Great, precious. And I will come again. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to come and I'm going to get you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Just continues on and on and on. Just great and precious promises. And they go into us and then you respond. And you come to Christ. You accept Christ as your Savior. He, God, came, chose you, came after you, pursued you when you were His enemy. when I was his enemy. He literally grabbed us by the back of our neck and said, turn. Here, I'm giving you these truths so that you will see that you are lost and you are without hope because we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Dead men don't make choices. God, what does he do? He breathes into us and he gives us faith. And we see these great and precious promises that people come and share the gospel with us. Obedient other children who are passing along their faith. And because of their love for God and their just amazement in what God has done for them and continues to do for them. And they come and say, hey, do you know Christ is your Savior? And God uses those things to open our eyes and we see Christ in all of his glory. And we can do nothing but say, yes. Yes, 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 Christ, yes. Oh. Have you gotten used to your salvation? Peter says, I want to remind you of some things because they tend to settle in our lives. And we need to be stirred up and be reminded these great and precious promises. And we will go weeks upon weeks, day after day, and never open our mouth for those who are dying and have absolutely no hope unless somebody shares the gospel. So he's talking about God has granted to us this great salvation. All right, verse 5. For this very reason, because of this, because of what God has done, because of the change that has happened in us, because of what this new life, this birth causes in us, for this very reason, he says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness. You got the list. It's actually a short list, but it'll work. That's enough of what God wanted Peter to put in there. But there's this, he's saying, make every effort. Supplement your faith. Nourish. It's like eating. We Baptists eat. You're going to eat finger foods tonight. Love finger foods. That means there's a lot of taste going on in my mouth. A lot of different things. And there's some things I may like and some other ones I don't. That's why you only pick a little bit on the front end so that when you can go back and say, I didn't really like that, but I like those, so I'll get me a couple more of those. Nourish. Nourish this faith. You come to Christ and you've just been born again. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. You're a new creature. And so you're going to grow. Those whom he justified, he will sanctify, and then he will ultimately glorify. There's a process. And so salvation is not just it. It's just the beginning. And this great price that was paid comes with a great price. There's great expectation here. God's granting us qualities by his divine power that he has put himself in us. By his spirit, he has filled us, changed us, made us alive. And now, look, I want you to do, this is where you're supposed to live. And he says, again, you hear me, make every effort. Make every effort. Does that describe your Christian life? It doesn't usually describe mine. I have a tendency towards laziness. Or just like for things to just stop for a little while. Busy. I don't find that my idle time is focused on fellowship with God like I want it to. But he says here, he goes, hey, as you do this, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Excellence. You do things with excellence. Kids, you do things with excellence in your schoolwork? Do we as parents do things with excellence? Do you do your job with excellence? It's not really what he's talking about, but it's a good just to say, hey, we're thinking on excellence here. How much is excellence really in our life? Now he's talking about your faith. your Christian growth. Excellence. So he sows in there and you go, anybody know Philippians 4, 8, and 9? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Think on these things. That's excellence. See, if we're thinking excellent, we're starting to change the way that we think. Because we don't think according to this book. You see, we'll read it, but we'll also read it in a way that it's like, I'm going to change it and make it fit for me. I don't really like that it says that part. Or I'll read it and I know it, but am I really striving and working on the things that I'm thinking on? And that I'm taking these kind of thoughts? I take every thought captive. The scripture says, take every thought captive. Why? Because why? We're striving for excellence. And there's more on this list. He goes on, he says, knowledge, the study of God. Theology, the study of God. Have you studied God? Do you know who God says He is? Who is God? He's all sovereign. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. What else do you know about God? I mean, we could just go on and on. We could spend a month in sermons on just who God is and the qualities in His character, who He says He is. Knowledge, we should be in every effort to continue to study and to know God. Why? It's really important because the things that you know and believe about God changes the way that you live. You know God to be sovereign. Things don't overwhelm you like they would otherwise. Things come into your life, you know they've come through the sovereign hand of God. Even the things that are unexplainable. I don't have to protect God. God is not on trial. He does what He does, whether it makes sense to us or not. And there are some secret things that God keeps secret. But being sovereign, knowing God's sovereignty in my life, changes the way that I live. Knowing that He is all-powerful, that He created all things, He's going to take and give me all that is necessary. Knowledge, are you studying and you know God? Self-control. How's your self-control? It's a good balance because knowledge tends to puff up alone by itself. Get somebody who gets excited about God and they'll come in and start doing boom, 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 boom. And it's like, hey, you didn't know this? You know, did you know this about God? Young people can get very zealous. Good. Self-control. Temperance. You see that in your life. Temperance, self-control, struggle with anger, self-control of your mind, your will, your emotions. Here I've been preparing for this, spending a lot of time with God, coming to preach the word to you. In driving yesterday, people make me angry. And don't get on 256 because it won't help you. They had a lane blocked yesterday and nobody was working. I sat there and looked, I thought I could get out of my car and sling those orange cones to the sidewalk. And I'm sitting here and going, God, I immediately start saying, really? Self-control. Because why? That flesh in us will rise up. Steadfastness. What do you know about steadfastness? Are you steadfast? Steadfastness. Cheerful endurance. Hopeful endurance. Is that the way you endure? Cheerfully? Hopefully? Or, all right, God, I know you did it, but enough. Or do I look at it and embrace it and say, whatever comes, you're using this to be for your good and for your glory in my life. You think of these promises and these scriptures that come to your mind. James says, count it all joy when various trials come our way. You know that? Heard that before, hadn't you? You get joyful when your trials come? promises. How about Philippians 1:29? We don't talk about this a whole lot. Or at least in my coming up years we didn't. For it has been granted to you that you for the sake of Christ should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. There's one for you. If you hadn't heard it before, here's a new promise. God just keeps putting these things in here, into our lives. What? To change us. As we grow in our faith, to supplement our faith, and that you're to do these things, making every effort. Not just here, and I know it's in there. Somebody needs to come along and say, hey, it's why we need one another. Because we'll get to thinking wrongly about some things and somebody will come along and stir us up. Oh, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what God says. Let me encourage you. God's name and reputation is at stake here by the way that we live. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast. It goes on, godliness. What is godliness? See, I'm used to people being about 50 in here, and they're all in metal chairs about right here in front of me. And so they can respond. Godliness. Holiness. Holy. 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 Is the Lord God Almighty. Matter of fact, while we sit here and we listen to the preaching of the Word and look at His Word, they're around His throne crying, holy, holy, holy. We can't even imagine what is holy. What does that look like? It causes those who get in the presence to become undone, to fall down. And yet He calls us to us. And He has granted this to us. His divine power has been put into us. Holy. You making every effort for holiness in your life? Brothers, sisters, Kevin? Kevin, are you making every effort in your life to become holy? Really straining, striving to be holy? Yes. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. God just don't give us no wiggle room. Does He? Be holy in all your conduct. Be ye holy as I am holy. And then He says brotherly affection. You love your brothers? You love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Would you rather be with lost people than you had your brothers and sisters in Christ? We love one another. What does He tell us? They will know your mind by the love that we have for one another. Do you love one another? Do you love the difficult? There's some that are easier to love than others. Yeah. That's why some of you sit over here, some of you sit over there. I'm just kidding. The world should know us by the love that we have for one another. Because they see us what? John, 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Are there people in here that you would say, yeah, I'll lay my life down for you? It's one thing to lay your life down for your family. You lay your life down for your brother and sister in Christ in here today? Would you lay your life down for those who don't know the gospel? You see, that's probably a thing that we would all say, yeah, I would do that. That seems to be pretty commendable. It'd be a pretty good way to go, wouldn't it? Huh? Lay my life down. Yeah. But I can't get along with my brother and sister at home. I can't get along with my wife and having unkind words that we say to one another. I can't even care enough to go across the street to my neighbor that I've lived there for a couple years and I still don't know whether he knows Christ as his Savior. It doesn't seem to be the big things that are difficult. It seems to be the little everyday things. Man, that demonstrate. That's what love does. Love demonstrates. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Knowledge of God. You know God? God is love. We like that aspect about God. We may not like His justice as much as we do our love of God. But if you know God, you gotta know love. You know love beyond even comprehending how deep it is, how deep it is. And then he finishes with love. So those are pretty much kind of the same kind of run together. And he says, what about 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter, short chapter. I'm not going to quote it all. But at the end it says, but faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Do you love? Do you make every effort to love? Do you love your enemies? We can even love one another in here. That should be pretty easy. Love your enemies. I miss my dinner table with all four of my kids around. With three females and a wife, that would be four females in a household. Somebody's usually not right, sometime all the time. It's just something about that. And I have a son, and he got one of the greatest educations about how to live with a wife in an understanding way. But my daughters, coming up through their middle school years, high school years, more than three females for about 3 or 4 hours, and that's about as much as you can take. You throw in about 5 or 6 or 8, then there starts to be a problem, and this one doesn't care for this one, and this one said this about that one. Now, trust me, I'm not picking on ladies. Men have their same quirks. But I use this because here's the point. My daughters would come home and we're talking about kids in their youth group. Because my kids were homeschooled. And their kids in their youth group, we're talking about other fellow believers. I'm just going to have nothing to do with her anymore. She is just this, and this. And I don't have nothing to do with her. I don't like her. I said, do what? This is your sister in Christ going, we're to love our enemies. You can't say that. You can't do that. And claim the name of Christ to experience the love of God by His divine power that He had granted to us. And you're going to say, I can not love somebody? Not possible. Don't go together. Love. Love your enemies. What's the greatest commandment, Lord? We're going to try to trick Him. Got a lawyer. Matthew 22. What's the greatest commandment? What would you say that is? Very good. Thank you very much. We got a lot of seed to put in there this time. And He gives more than one, right? You only ask me for one. I give you another one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with everything that you have. See, you know these things. Maybe some of you who've been saved under 5 years, maybe not heard all of that, but now you have. And you know it's in there. And God in His salvation and His divine power that He granted to us has called us to Himself. Why? So that we can represent Him. That we live these things. This is God. This is who God says He is. These are the qualities of God Himself. This is why Christ left, right? So the Holy Spirit could come. So that we would all walk around and be Christ. And you're sitting going, really? Yes, really. He can be everywhere. He's not confined to one body. He's now taken and put His Spirit in us, those that He has saved. Why? So that we can now go an ambassador to Christ. What's an ambassador to do? He represents the one who cannot be there. So here, Peter says, hey, stir you up. You know these things. These are the qualities that we are to have in our lives, and they should be going around like this in our lives, and that we're constantly working on, and that I don't always need somebody else to come and stir me up. It's why we do come in here and we get stirred up from the preaching of the Word of God. But I stir myself up and I make every effort to do these things that God has called me to do. Why? Because He's paid such a great price for me. How could I not? How could I not? For if these qualities are yours, is this your life? Or is your life settling more than you prefer? Be encouraged. Don't be beaten up. I'm not beating anybody up. I want to encourage you. I want to stir you up. Because He alone is worthy. This is temporary. We're only here for a short period of time, and we will stand before Him one day. We will see, our faith will become sight. And we will have lived, and we will have say, man, we laid our lives down for the sake of the gospel and for others and for your, the name, for your name's sake. Is this life yours? Are they increasing? Verse 8. For whoever lacks these qualities, that's 9. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Makes you effective for God. That's why it's so important. That's why a dying man is writing these words. This is what's important. He goes on and says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sin. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. You got God's granted warning right here. Are these qualities yours? Are they in you? You just need to be stirred up? Or do you sit here today and you have no idea what this is all about? This seems so foreign to you. Here we've been telling one another, make every effort. I don't know how much more you can say, but he does. He comes back and says, now, if these qualities aren't yours, you be even more diligent. Make sure that you're calling his election sure. You know Christ today? Well, I pray for people who will sit here today that does not know Christ. Oh, that God would open their eyes and allow them to see Jesus Christ in all of His glory and going, this is the only way to live. This is your only hope. Be all the more diligent. Don't leave here today. You got a question? Want to know more about the gospel? Good. Come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Greg. Grab somebody sitting in the pew. They all, most of them raise their hand. They can help you. Some of you are turning over inside. Oh, don't ask me. Good, bring them to me. We'll sit down together with them. Don't let it intimidate. You don't have to have all the answers. You do know God. You do know your salvation. You love God. You can tell somebody about that. Do not leave here today not knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're not guaranteed a tomorrow. We don't know that we'll make it to this evening for the snack fellowship. Be all the more diligent. Come to Jesus. Verse 11, he grants us a great promise again. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God not only starts it, controls it in the middle to the end, and gives you a promise of going, this will get you an entrance into heaven. Whether that's there or not, we should love God and look to live to represent Him, striving for holiness, being a light, being salt. He is worthy of our every effort. From beginning to end, God is doing a work. All right, and I have to close. And I'm right on the minute. I'm actually gone 5 minutes. I'm supposed to be done. All right. Tune in. wrap it all up. These are the things that God has done. If you continue to read in this book, you see there that in verse 12, what we read, I'm not going to reread it again, but you see how Peter says, man, this is what I want to do. This is Peter's nugget for you today. This is Peter's special key for you today. There's really nothing new. You just need to be stirred up and reminded. Some need to learn. And we talked about that. And the more that you study and the more that you know. And you keep sowing that in there. And then all along the way, those who've been saved for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and you want to come here and get impressed, get stirred up. Get stirred up. Let the Holy Spirit stir you up and going, are you making every effort? Your time is short. My time is short. God just laid on my heart when I was in Jacksonville. I knew I was not going to stay there. I'm not going to finish my days what I was doing. And I told my wife, I said, we only have probably maybe 20 years left at best. If God is gracious with good health. I want to go out going, doing all that I can for the one who paid such an unbelievable price for me. How could I not? Peter refers to Paul over in chapter 3, verses 14. Excuse me, 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14, 15. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given in him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in these matters. Over in Ephesians, Pastor Greg read this morning, chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you. Prisoner of the Lord, urge you. Strongly compelling. With this depths of love from a man's heart who loves God with everything that he has. Living his life, he's a prisoner of the Lord for the sake of the gospel. I'm urging you. I, reading these words to you, I'm urging you. God is our witness this morning. I'm urging you, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here for a short time. Live for God. Paul's word, his command, he commends, he says, urge you to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as we are called in one hope of our calling. We read that, so I'm going to skip on over. Verse 14, he says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way in him who is the head, unto Christ. Into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are all to grow up with one another into full maturity into Christ. That's the calling. That's the high calling that you have been called with. And you're sitting and go, Kevin, you're ridiculous. No. God says, and if it's not high enough standard for you, chapter 5, verse 1. We will not finish chapter 4 just for the sake of time. Therefore, be imitators of God. Me. You. You. All of you. You raise your hand. Be an imitator of God. As beloved children, you've been so loved. Imitate God. Demonstrate the love that He's demonstrated to you. Forgive. How many times? Seven? No, seven times 70. What's the point? On and on and on and on. Why? Forgive. Why? Does God ever not forgive you? How can you say, I'm not forgiving you? Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, I do know. And I know it's really difficult. And there's nothing in you that will allow that to happen except for the divine power that's been granted to you. That will demonstrate God like no other. Because as beloved children, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Is that not astounding? That the cross was a fragrant offering in the nostrils of God. Amazing. What a salvation. What a Savior. My plea, my prayer for you then, be an imitator of God. As beloved children like no other, the God of this universe, God of everything, set his affection on you when you absolutely had no hope. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Make every effort. And if you don't know Christ today, come. Come. It is unbelievable. If you have any taste, you have any inkling, you got any question, come. Come. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your love that you have so demonstrated towards us. God, may we not be beat up by this. It is not the point. It is so that we do see the seriousness and that we are stirred up by your Spirit. Oh God, make our hearts receptive to this. May it deep root in us this desire, God, that you would accomplish this, because every person in this room will make a decision today. We will. We walk in and out of here and we make decisions and we embrace or we reject. And so I pray by your Spirit, by the great love that has been demonstrated to us, that we would be overwhelmed, that we would be stirred again to a life that represents you well. God, thank you for this place. Thank you for their love for us and our church. And we pray for those today who don't know Christ. Don't let them leave here. God, don't let them leave here without coming to know Christ today. In Christ's precious and powerful and holy sweet name we pray. Amen.